nervous. I don't think we ever get over being nervous. Because as long as we stand before the living and the dead, those that are saved and those that are lost, we stand responsible before God and the Holy Spirit for that which is before us. By the grace of God, men should speak, and by His grace only. We have no message. We have no message in the flesh, no message in self. And our memory verses this morning was on I Am. He's the great I Am. He ever was, ever will be. One of the things I would like to read about the Word of God. In Psalms 119:89, you need not turn. Many times you turn to scriptures too often, you lose out on what the Word. I always felt that if I wanted to remember scriptures, I wrote them down and looked later. But one of the things we need to remember is the Word forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven. That's the authority of the Word of God. And then in 1 Peter 1:25, the Word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the Word by the gospel which is preached unto you. And then we have another I have down here. 1 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and righteousness. And 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not of old time, but will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And then we read many things about the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit, and of joints and the marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's only the Word of God that can change the heart and the thoughts of mind. Now, scripture that was read this morning is, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Where I am, there ye may be also. Now, you know, when it comes to heart trouble, the disciples well could have heart trouble. Only a little bit before, the Lord Jesus in the previous chapter had washed their feet. And that was the job of the slave and or the servant. But they didn't, no one rose to wash the Lord's feet. And we find that the Lord Jesus washed their feet. And he washed Judas's feet. One of the traitors sold the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. You know, there's a lot of character in Judas, in people today. We have, right in the very beginning, we have Cain and Abel all making offerings. And Abel was keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And Cain did not offer a sacrifice that was pleasing to God. It had to be a blood sacrifice. And Abel had offered a blood sacrifice. And you know, it's important. We read in Leviticus 17:11, the life is in the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you. I've given it to you upon the altar. What is he saying here? It's saying that you and I can say, I crucified the Lord. It was my sins that put him there. We're guilty before God. And when he says, I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, it's the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. So we know that when sin came in, when Adam and Eve had sinned, there had to be a sacrifice. And an animal was killed, and the blood was offered up for a covering for their sin. And when Cain and Abel made their offerings, Cain brought the first fruits of his life, his work, the tilling of the field. You know, sometimes we think that the Lord is going to receive the things that we do and our good works as some way will help us to get to heaven. And Cain was wrong. He was angry. Because all of his works, all of his life, could not have any merit so far as being justified with God. And therefore, he was wroth. He was angry. And the Lord says, why art thou angry, Cain? There's a sin offering at the door. My friends, there's a sin offering at the heart's door of everyone here today. The Bible teaches us that we're lost in sin. We've been born in sin, shaven in iniquity. And we must be born again. And there was a sin offering at his door. And Revelations 3:20, behold, I stand at the door. He was the sin offering. He was a sin offering for Cain. And Cain rejected that sin offering. You know, here we see that Judas, as he was a disciple, he was a false disciple. He followed the Lord through life. You'll remember that he had his feet washed. And then you remember that he was at the graveside when Lazarus was raised from the dead. He saw the miracles of the Lord. And yet, Judas's heart was not moved. And he said, one of you shall betray me. And he knew not who it was. The scripture says that they thought he went out to buy something for the poor in chapter 13. And then we read he went out and it was night. And then again, we have the word in verse 36. The Lord said to Peter, before the cock will crow, you'll deny me thrice. Now you're going to realize that here the Holy Spirit had not come. The Lord Jesus had not went to the cross as yet. And he says, I go to prepare a place for you. Now you'll notice in this first verse that I read, in my Father's house are many mansions. The mansions are there. Lord knew you and I. He was the great I am even before he came into this world. He was never willing that any should perish. The heavenly home, the mansions already has been prepared. And when men come like Cain and reject the Lord Jesus Christ, they make their own exit into a lost eternity. Many today have all kinds of ways that they think they're going to be saved. And they think somehow. You know, many come into the meetings and the good seed of the Word of God. When someone's saved, that good seed, you can see it in their lives. And then you see those who have the seed by the wayside. And their lives is by the wayside. It's nothing seems to be real about it. And what keeps them going? Because they're continually feeding. They're coming to the meeting and feeding on the wayside. The seed that was on the wayside. It was in the land or on the ground and not much depth. There's not much depth many times in our lives. But only that which fell on good ground is really the child of God. And it's so hard to tell the tares from the wheat. One time, I just heard this recently, a man, when they came into where they had a lot of prisoners over in another land somewhere, I don't remember where it was, someone just told me, and he came in with a machine gun, and they were reading the Bible and singing hymns, and they were all together. And he came in and he pulled his gun up, ready to mow them down, and he said, "Any of you that are Christians, I'm going to kill. I'm going to execute you." And he said, "Any one of you who are not Christians, get out of this room. Only the Christians am I going to kill." That's sort of the wheat from the tares. And out they went. I wonder where we'd be if something like that come up today. You know what happened? Some of them get out. Christians would not deny the Lord Jesus Christ regardless of the cost. But many of them went out. They denied their Lord as Judas denied the Lord and lost all his opportunities. And surely there was heart trouble. Because they were to find out that they could not go with the Lord. He said, "Where I go, you cannot come. You can't come now. No one is fit for heaven till they're born from above. This home that is already prepared, none of the disciples could go to that home until the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and suffered and bled and died." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." He went to the cross. And that heavenly home was not available to anyone until they come to Calvary. My friends, you must take a look at the crucified one as the thief on the cross. You must see him there in your place. You must see him on the cross in your place as your substitute. You have no rights to the throne of God or to his presence at all apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, my friends, the scripture says in Colossians 1:14, "In whom we have redemption through the blood that is in Christ Jesus." Redemption for our sins is that through the redemption of his blood. That's the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. And my friends, today I would like to ask you the question, are you under the blood? Word says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me." He never said I knew them. And my friends, it's been, you know, there's those today who are saved and know it. There's those that are lost and don't know it. There's those that hear and know the word, been feeding on the seed, been a wayside for many, many years. And maybe never came to the true realization of their condition before God and trusted him as Lord and know what it is to pass from death unto life. Listen, I heard this, and when it was some time ago, Brother told me, he said, that there was a man who was hunting out in the woods, out in the mountains in Nova Scotia, and he got lost. And he wandered away. And he didn't know where he was at. And so he didn't come in that night. And they sent out a group looking for him. And when they came, was the next day, they were sitting around quietly eating their lunch and getting ready to go out again. And they heard something coming through the brush and breaking down the brush like a wild animal. And here was the man who was lost. He was so lost that he was frantic. And he came tearing through the brush and they called to him. And he kept on going. They had to run and catch him and put him down and then bring him to his senses. And he found out he was among friends. And my friends, unless you come to that same place in your life that you're lost, you're doomed, you're damned for time and eternity, you will not see heaven. There must be a time when you're lost. Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which was lost and nothing else. No good works. All have sinned. God sees you from the head, from your head to your sole of your foot in purifying sores from the top to the bottom. Without God, without hope, no Calvary experience and no heaven experience. That's God's living, loving word. Only those that's born from above will ever see God's presence. The rest are abandoned forever. My friend, we need to take warning. We need to know we were lost. Can you look back to a day when you knew you was lost? Only the lost that was lost will ever see heaven. No one is ever going to see heaven unless they have known they were lost. Born in sin, the Bible says, from a mother's womb, conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. You were born in this condition. Only many people don't know it. Another man was out in the woods and he was coming around and out in the mountains and he was going around and around. He seen tracks he was following and an Indian said to him, "The white man, you're lost." "I'm not lost." And he went on. He came back again. He said, "White man, you're lost." He said, "Look at the tracks, lots of them." He said, "Those tracks are a man who was skiing. He was in a circle following his own tracks. He was lost. And you're following his tracks. And if you look, those are your footprints. You're lost." He was lost and didn't know it. Many of us have been blinded by the religion of the day because we said it maybe at the Lord's table. Not long ago, I found there was a series of meetings that Gordon Rigger and some of the others was preaching, and there was four or five that had been in the assembly for years, never born from above. They found out that they had never truly been lost, never seen themselves as good as in the furnaces of hell. The Bible tells us to take a look at the hole of the pit from where we've been hewn. We were plucked as brands from burning. Did you experience that? I was so lost, I could smell the smoke. God came to where we are. You remember the man going down to Jericho? It was a place of death. And he was left for dead on the road by thieves and robbers. And the law and all the religious activity of the world could do nothing for him. Finally, one came, the Samaritan, the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to where he was, and he poured into his wounds the oil and the wine, and he put him on his own beast and took him to the inn. And he said, "I'm coming again, my friends. The Lord Jesus has done all he could do upon Calvary's cross. He's coming back. We're going to face him. Are we ready to meet God?" Sometime a friend told me this, heard it in as he preached. He was in New York Hospital. And as he was going through with his Bible under his arm, a man or a lady came to him. She said, "Are you a preacher?" He said, "Yes, I preach the Word of God." And she said, "Well, my husband's dying. Would you come and see him?" So he went into the bedroom, and the first thing he said, "Do you know the Lord is your Savior?" He said, "Yes, I've been saved for many years." But he said, "My heart's really heavy." He said, "There's a man that one time took me to a meeting where the gospel was being preached. And he said, I was under conviction. And we went home, and he said, I'd like to be saved." Well, he said, "You will go tomorrow night." And he said, "As we go tomorrow night, when we'll go the same as we did last night." And when you hear the word of God, if you still want to be saved, you still want to trust Christ as your Savior, you get up and go forward and he'll explain to you what to do when they give the call. And he said, the man, that's what I done. And he said, the man that told me all this, told me how I could be saved, knew all the answers. They said he died and went to hell. He never trusted himself. But he took others to the meeting. And he was able to point others to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, my friends, it's serious. There was a man who knew all about the Word of God, but never acted on it. Never got the reality and the force of what it's going to be like to be in the eternal hell. My friends, it would do you good to bow before God and take a look in the very hole of the pit where you're going to spend eternity. Look down into the place where the rich man is today, weeping, wailing, and gnashing his teeth. There was a man who said, go back and tell my brethren. He had the gospel message. Go back and give them the message that the prophets had given me that I rejected. I wouldn't need to be here. I wonder how many today. In one day there'll be that day when God will say no more. One day you'll stand before him. Hear those words, depart from me, workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in thy name, cast out demons in thy name, devils in thy name? Then will I profess the Lord speaking, workers of iniquity, I never knew you. My friends, salvation is at the cross. Isaiah says, look and live. Anyone can do that. You need to take a look at the cross and realize that the Lord Jesus Christ hung between heaven and earth for you, for me. I remember that first time when I looked at the cross and I realized I know he died for everyone, but there was a time when I realized he died on the cross for me. I wasn't thinking of anyone else. And my friend, if you're going to get to heaven, you're not going to be thinking of anyone but yourself this morning. God has no grandchildren. You can't be saved in the merits of your family. When the Philippian jailer was saved, they preached a word to the family. They all had to believe for their own salvation. His house was saved. But you'll read there was no such a thing as family salvation. The son in the scripture reads, and the father will give account for their own sin. Every man shall give an account of himself to God. Are you ready to give an account? If the Lord were to call you before this day is over, would you be ready to meet God? My friends, his words forever settled in heaven. And he will not change to suit any of us. Have you ever been lost? If you was called upon to give a testify to the day that you found yourself lost, the day that you had a personal experience with Jesus Christ, that you was lost, that you knew you was without God, you was without hope, and you knew that you were going into a lost it.